How about this?
They call me Dr. John.
Dr. John Cooper Clark, that is, and you're listening to James Shakeshaft on vinyl.
Some of the...
That was a good decision, wasn't it? That was R. Dean Taylor, and that was Ghost in My House. And I'm not a ghost, I'm James Shakeshaft, and this is episode 13 of The Vinyl Revival. This is LSR, and the time is 2300 hours. As I said, that was R. Dean Taylor, and that was a song that came in discussion earlier this week with... we can't get much earlier than Monday, it must have been last week, with my dad, and I decided to open the show with that, and as I said, that was a marvellous decision. What a cracking record. On today's show, we've got music from Martha Rees, Glenn Garrison, The Raconteurs, and more. As we discuss the topic of age and growing better with time like a fine vintage wine. And we discuss this because I turned the ripe old age of 20 years young on the 7th of February this weekend. I'm no longer a teenager, I'm just an ager. But a lot of you will be thinking, that's young, but yeah, it is. We can still discuss ageing, though. I don't have to be a pensioner. I don't have a bus pass. We'll also be going ahead with the usual features of the Charity Shop 7-inch. And we'll also be selecting an LP for our virtual collection. Oh, and of course, our wind-down record, which is a new feature that came into play a few weeks ago. So do feel free to get in touch through any form of media that you do desire to get in touch through. You might see that the website is going through some revamping, but that will be ready soon. But that doesn't matter. What matters is the music, and this is a beautiful little number. To take us into the next stage of the show by Shirley Bassey, Goldfinger.
He's the man with the Midas touch. cold finger beckons you to enter his web of sin. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. He loves only gold. Only gold. He
That ending, that was Shirley Bassey with Goldfinger, taken from the title theme of the James Bond theme, film theme. I'll play that one for Steve if he's listening. I know he's partial to a good Bond theme. And what is a better example of ageing well than a Bond? James Bond is the epitome of class, isn't he? With his tailored suits and vintage liqueurs. Not that I'm a drinker. Although James Bond makes you want to do that. So, there's a lot to get through in this show. Just bear with me, because I'm having a bit of technical difficulty with my headphones. I can't hear myself. Let me know if I'm coming through. Can you hear me? Me? So that was taken from, obviously, the James Bond film Goldfinger. And I've got a lot of statistics about the film here. And all of them are irrelevant to the show, so we'll just skip right through them. Where should we go from here? Bond girls. The Bond girl. That's what I was going to talk about. Why would I forget that? How would I forget that? Jill Masterson was the blonde girl. The blonde girl. God, I can't do it tonight. The Bond girl from Goldfinger, who was scantily dressed, and she was killed by Oddjob, his the evil man from the Goldfinger films. And his hat was fantastic. I don't know if you saw it. It had a razor's edge. That song obviously covered by Alan Partridge in the series. He's a man that didn't age well. He had a midlife crisis. Maybe I should have a midlife crisis. Well, 20 is not the middle of anything, really, though, is it? So, ageing. Get in touch with any ageing stories. Have any of you gone mental with age? Or have any of you gained sanity? Let's just skip on to the next record, because I'm going senile here, I'm telling you that. And it's from Mr. Frank Sinatra. We're going to take a trip down to New Jersey to the local to see him perform a number one that we know very well called That's Life. A perfect attitude to life, really. You can't be too serious about these things. You got to take it on the chin and get on with it. But a quick thing to say about this song before I play it is how fantastic the backing vocals are in this little number. I did some research before I came on the show about the backing vocalist, who I knew nothing about. One of which, Mrs. Gwen Johnson, who was a member of the Cufflinks. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that group. who released a cover version of The Casual's So Tough on Challenge Records in 1957, and she was part of a musical family that performed in New Orleans on part of Peacock Records. She performed with artists such as Elvis Presley and tons more very well-celebrated artists. As well as this, a Mrs. B.J. Baker, who was born Betty Jane Phillips in Birmingham, Alabama, who was Miss Alabama in 1944, and a Mrs. Jackie Ward. These were all fantastic backing vocalists, which you can hear wonderfully on this next record by Frank Sinatra. This is called That's Life, and I think that's a good opinion.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
It may seem some people get their kicks stomping on a dream, but I don't let it get me down, 'cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself flat on my face, I pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
I tell you, I can't deny it. I thought of quitting, baby, but my heart just ain't gonna buy it. And if I didn't think it was worth one single try, I'd jump right on a big bird and then I'd fly. I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find myself laying flat on my face, I just pick myself up and get back in the race. That's life.
That's life.
That's life. And I can't deny it. Many times I thought of cutting out, but my heart won't buy it. But if there's nothing shaking, come this here July, I'm gonna roll myself up in a big ball and die.
Spectacular performance there, Frank. That was That's Life, and before I was talking a bit about the backing vocals, and I hope you hear what I was saying there. Just absolutely eerie. The organ as well in that intro is just spot on, isn't it? So let's pick ourselves up and get back in the race. He's been everything, Frank Sinatra, but he hasn't been the presenter on the LSR hit show Vinyl Revival, because that's me, James Shakeshaft, episode 13. Still to come, we've got Charity Shop 7-inch of the Week, picking our wind down record and an LP for our virtual collection, but now we're talking about ageing and old people. Now that I'm on my way, I've got a first-class ticket to the end of the line. Now I've turned 20. I feel no different. If anything, I feel younger. Now, moving on to the next record. Music has many powers. One is not only to transport us to a destination, but also through time. And despite the number that age puts on our heads, this next record from my collection is a prime example of that. By a man that you either love or hate, and I dislike him, to be honest, apart from this record. Mr. Paul Simon, he gets a lot of stick, and I'm guilty as charged. But that doesn't take away this record's infant charm and chipper rhythm. Undisputably a very wonderful piece of music. And it was used recently in the Bill Murray film St. Vincent, which is about an ex-army officer turned drunk depressant who befriends his new neighbour's child after he's forced to babysit him due to occupational circumstance. And this record is used in a heartwarming montage of life lessons, and they're not necessarily politically correct. But it's a great scene and a great film, and I tell you what, surprise, surprise, it's a great record. So on the topic of ageing, this is Paul Simon's Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard.
Mama rolled out of bed and she ran to the police station. When the papa found out, he began to shout and he started the investigation. It's against the law. It was against the law. Oh, what did mama saw? It was against the law. The mama looked down and spit on the ground every time her name gets mentioned. Papa said, oh, if I get that boy, I'm gonna stick him in the house of detention. Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. Take me away, but the press let the story leak. Now when the radical preach come to get me released, we's all on the cover of Newsweek. And I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
That was Paul Simon with Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard, and you have to admit that that is an absolutely fantastic record with a great mood to it and interesting lyrics. And despite what you may think about the man, he is an intelligent musician, to say the least. So, to be honest, that was a little bit sissy of me to play that record, so we better play something with a bit more bite. And this is still sticking in the theme of age. This is another record with an infant charm, however, it's intertwined with almost waterboy violin melodies, a great gospel Hammond organ, and the fantastic vocals of Brendan Benson. And I speak often of how interesting I found the raconteurs when I discovered them some years back, simply because of the format of having two frontmen. It's like having an album by two bands, because each song is completely different. And this song is taken from their second studio album released on XL Records. And the album's called Consolers of the Lonely, which we've played songs from in the past. And it poses many questions to young-minded people, and I picked up on this myself when I was even younger than I am now. The lyrics, when you are old enough, you'll realise that you're not so tough. And sometimes when the seas get rough, you'll see. And it's a tip of the iceberg. In order to grow, you've got to accept that you know nothing and build from the ground up. So ignorance is really bliss. and I'm sure there's a lot to learn on my end as well. And what better place to start than with a fantastic song from a band we know all too well, the Raconteurs. I've already said what we've got coming up on the rest of the show, so I won't repeat myself, but thanks for staying tuned. And stick around for after this. This is brilliant. This is Old Enough by the Raconteurs, appropriately titled for this episode of the Vinyl Revival. See you after this.
You look pretty in your fancy dress, but I detect unhappiness. You never speak, so I have to guess you're not free.
The Raconteurs with Old Enough. What an absolutely perfect blend of traditional country music with that traditional Jack White. Can you call it traditional? No, that's usually used for old things, isn't it? He's relatively new. Traditional country music blended with Jack White's distorted guitar. We'll just leave it at that. Fantastic record, particularly the Hammond organ in that. The guy sounds like he's just dancing on it, doesn't he? A bucka-dicka, bucka-dicka. It's like an African rhythm on a melodic instrument. But yeah, that's an absolutely great record with lyrics that made me think from a young age, and not many songs did that. Another one actually is Life on Mars by David Bowie. I had no idea what he was singing about when I first heard that. I must have been before I was 10 years old. And that song still brought tears to my eyes then, God knows why, when I had no idea what he was singing about. But yeah. That's something. Get in touch, the power of lyrics before you had any idea what they were. It's all down to melody, isn't it, really? But yeah, we know nothing, and we need to accept that we know nothing before we can start to learn anything. I say that, but most of you listening are all old fogies anyway. I don't really attract the student crowd, but don't tell my bosses that or they'll have me taken off the air. Or will they? I've been here for 2 years now. Maybe I'll be here for a third. Hat trick. Maybe I'll be here in 20 years' time. Let's see. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's coming up to 1:30. Halfway through the show, you know what it is. What is it? It's time to go to the charity shop and have a flick through the vinyl crates and select our charity shop 7-inch of the week. And to be honest, I went away this weekend for my birthday, so I've been doing naff all. So yeah, it was absolutely wonderful to have a break from everything. But whilst I was on this break, I realised there was a crack in the sky. The temperature was a bit more mild and the sun was out and the vitamin D was throwing itself all around me. Like the sea. And I thought, you know what? I feel as though the worst of winter has passed. And been the optimist that I am so famously. I thought, you know what? The blanket has been lifted off us this winter and it's now time to move forward. And what better way to do it than with this record? It was released July 31st, 1964, on 7-inch vinyl. The B-side was There He Is at My Door. 2:40 of pure optimism and excitement from the girl group that is, of course, Martina and the Vandellas. Oh, yes. Now, Martha Reeves recently played at the Brudenell Social Club in Leeds that we cover a lot of gigs from. And she actually met my old boss, Mark Young, who owns Cellar Bar, was working on the pizza bus there. He had a Martha Reeves-themed pizza menu. And anyway, she was very fond of that. But what are the chances? I never thought anyone I knew would have come cross paths with Martha Reeves. And I'm sure you all know what song it is that I'm going to play. But just in case you do not, here's some clues. Famously covered by Mick Jagger and David Bowie in 1985, recorded at Abbey Road Studios, produced by Alan Winstanley and Clive Langer. The dated music video for this was shown 2 times during the legendary Live Aid concert to billions, and that's not an over-exaggeration, I mean billions. This record has been the cornerstone of Motown music since it was released in 1964 from the booming auto industry town of Detroit, Michigan, on the Gaudy record label. It was the 60s Detroit, the teens were teens and old folks were old folks. All that was on their minds were Cadillacs, milkshakes and dancing in the street. This is our Charity Shop 7-inch of the week. Enjoy. We'll be right back. I've teared you a new one with that one. Martha Reeves there with Dancing in the Street. I hope you see what I mean. It's getting out there and just accepting the fact that spring is on its way. Take off your heavy knit flannel shirts, woolen jumpers, and your woolly boots, and put on some, vibrant patterned shirt, turn up jeans, smart little shoes. Like I said last week, you can never underestimate the power of a brand new pair of shoes. I currently have a pair on my feet, another pair of Dr. Martens, brand new, box fresh, ready for spring, and I tell you what, I feel fantastic, especially after that Charity Shop 7-inch of the week there. James Shakeshaft, 30 minutes to go on the episode 13. It's unlucky. Maybe that's why I was doing so bad at the beginning. It was all intentional. It was terrible because the number 13 is unlucky. Or maybe it's just because I'm still in holiday mode. Either way, I'm back in full throttle. Now, people often ask me, we've got quite a mixed bag on the show tonight. People often ask me, James, how do you take your tea? I tell them, just a drop of milk, please. But they also ask me, James, what sort of music do you play on your show? And I say, I try and play good music. I don't know. I've got no specific genres. Anyway, with that being said, let's move on to our next feature, which hasn't really found a comfortable slot. I sort of just put it in here, there and everywhere. But does it really matter? Let me know. It's time for the Wind Down record, and this week is sticking in the theme of adolescence, with a number from a vinyl revival favourite, The Beach Boys. And the song that I'm going to play is called When I Grow Up, open brackets, To Be a Man, close brackets. And it was taken from the 1956 debut album from The Beach Boys, and it's Don't Sound a Day Old to Me. I was talking about The Beach Boys the other day in conversation. And they're an odd band because I often forget Beach Boys records because there's a lot of similarities. Some often get brushed under the carpet, and then when you rediscover them, they're your new favourite thing, and you think, how did this slip under the carpet? But sticking in the theme of spring, which has come from nowhere, a bit of spring cleaning and you find them. And this is one of them for me. I found it the other week and I thought, my goodness, how have I forgot about this one? It is just top of their game. It was released in August 1964, the same year as the last record we played. It was recorded in Los Angeles. It was released on Capitol Records, and it was produced and written by Brian Wilson, as well as, oh, goodness gracious me, who was it now? Oh, one second. Mike Love, that's it. It was Brian Wilson and Mike Love's Love Child. It was on side one of the record, track four, but for us it's our wind down record tonight, and I don't know about you, but the luscious full fat harmonies of the Beach Boys warm the cockles as they sing about the transformation from boyhood to manhood and ask the question that crosses all our minds: when I grow up to be a man.
When I grow up to be a man, will I dig the same things that turned me on as a kid? Will I look back and say that I wish I hadn't done what I did? Will I join the rest and still dig those sides? Still dig the sides? Thank you.
Only time will tell, Brian Wilson, were you a man? That was the Beach Boys, that was our wind down record. But as per usual, as soon as I wind you down, I'm going to wind you right back up now with an interesting choice for me. And this is a song that my dad told me to play on the show quite a while ago. He dug it out for me on record, and I thought, when is there going to be a right time to play this? I liked it, I just couldn't see it fitting in the bill. But lo and behold, it is now that time to play this song. Now, first, we're going to take a little history lesson. The first time this is going to happen on the Vinyl Revival. That is history that's not covering the history of music. Obviously, that happens every single week. Where have you been? So it's back to the classroom, excuse me. The longest war in American history was the Vietnam War, which started on the 1st of November 1955 and went on to the 30th of April, my mum's birthday, 1975. 19 years, 5 months, 4 weeks and 1 day, a bloodbath fought between North Vietnam, supported by the Soviet Union, China and other communist allies, and the government of South Vietnam, supported by the United States and other anti-communist allies. Now, this war was This war provided some of the most inhumane events ever to take place, which begs the question, how could humans do such a thing? We are, and I mean this, I really mean this, we are the only species that commit genocide. There isn't any other species that commit genocide. We're vile, we must admit it. Over 1 million died during the 19 years due to ambush, airstrike, torture and massacre, and the country still shows signs of these attacks to this day. The beautiful landscape, however, has recovered and is said to be God's garden. However, God doesn't exist, so therefore doesn't have a garden. I've never seen him on what was that program Alan Titchmarsh did? Ground Force. Can you imagine that? God's Ground Force. What was this tune? No. Sorry if I've offended anybody there. Anyway, back to the point. The average age of the soldiers in World War II was 26. However, in Vietnam, it was the shockingly young age, famously 19. Which actually meant that there were soldiers even younger. And having just said goodbye to this age, it made me think a lot about this statistic, and I can't even begin to believe what it was like for them at that age to be fighting. At any age for that matter. And of course, you'll probably know the record I'm going to play for you by Paul Hardcastle. And like I said before, it is a real mixed bag on this show, so you'll have to bear with me if you're not into this sort of thing. However, it is a great, iconic record. Inspired people like Public Service Broadcasting who have had on the show, but you might prefer them because they're modern and hip. And the name of the record is 19, and the B-side for this was Fly By Night, and it was a political record, this, an anti-war techno song, and it's a brilliant piece of music. So a bit of synth pop here from 1984 for you. Sticking with the theme of age, so yeah, 19, the average age of soldiers in Vietnam, what a diabolical statistic, and one that makes me sick to my very stomach. So think about that while we listen to this next record, taking us into the final orange segment of the show. This is Port Hardcastle with 19.
In 1965, Vietnam seemed like just another foreign war, but it wasn't. It was different in many ways, and so were those who did the fighting. In World War II, the average age of the combat soldier was 26. In Vietnam, he was 19. 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 19.
The heaviest fighting of the past 2 weeks continued today, 25 miles northwest of Saigon.
I wasn't really sure what was going on.
Soldier typically served a 12-month tour of duty, but was exposed to hostile fire almost every day.
psychiatrists call post-traumatic stress disorder. Many vets complain of alienation, rage, or guilt. Some succumb to suicidal thoughts. 8 to 10 years after coming home, almost 800,000 men are still fighting the Vietnam War.
Terrifying. That song's given me the Bojangles. 19 by Paul Hardcastle. And while we're on the topic of electronic music, I should mention to you that still in the works is an interview with myself and Wolfgang Fleur of Kraftwerk. That still makes me slap myself in the face. I shouldn't do that. Yeah, Mr. Wolfgang Fleur will be coming on the show in the following weeks. God knows when, because he's got a very busy schedule at the moment, but I will keep you posted on that. So yeah, Paul Hardcastle, 19, a very terrifying statistic. And if you do want to learn more about the Vietnam War, there's many websites you can go to online. But also watch the film Good Morning Vietnam, because that intertwines history, music and Mr. Robin Williams, and of course our favourite thing in the world, radio. Unfortunately, I'm not in it. Batteries not included. 15 minutes to go, we've still got a couple of age-themed records. Hopefully I've not made you feel any older by playing some of these. And I must apologise for not getting back to people, because there is no way for me to see how you're getting in touch with me, but I will trust in good health that you are in fact doing so. Got a bit more into the swing of things now. We'll be here next week as well, I'll just add that in, and hopefully things will be up and running on the website then, but let's just cross that bridge when we come to it. Now, in a definite emotional summary of adolescence to come in this next song. With the lyrics, you can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain. That's what the chorus runs. With further lyrics of, though you are thinking that you're leaving there too soon. Neil Young, this is by, surprisingly. Called Sugar Mountain, taken from his 1977 album Decade. An underrated album with some fantastic songs on, obviously you're going to hear one of them now. This song addresses going to the fair with your parents, getting hidden notes from a girl and your first cigarettes, and then leaving home. Ain't it funny how you feel when you're finding out it's real? Age is an odd thing. It doesn't have to be sad. However, when Neil Young tackles it, of course it has to be sad, because I tell you what, he makes a bar mitzvah sad. He makes a christening sad. He makes other exciting non-religious holidays sad, because he's Neil Young. Nonetheless, a very talented musician that we love oh so dearly here on the Vinyl Revival. This is probably the final song of age-related topic, because it's just getting to me a little bit now. I'm getting a bit upset at my newfangled ageing. So this is Neil Young with Sugar Mountain. And don't worry, don't listen to him, kids. You can be on Sugar Mountain as long as you want. However, don't be on it too long or the police might start to ask questions. Neil Young.
Thank you. Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. It's so noisy at the fair, but all your friends are there. And the candy floss you had, and your mother and your dad. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. There's a girl just down the aisle, oh, turn and see her smile. You can hear the words she wrote as you read a hidden note. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon.
Sorry to cut you short there, Neil. That was Sugar Mountain, taken from his album Decade, which I've already said, just repeating that for those that didn't hear, because that is a marvellous piece of music. As I said, one that's very depressing. Seems as though I've just turned 20, but that does put a full stop on our ageing topic. We've got a more upbeat show next week for you, but we'll talk about that nearer the end, because we've still got a whole 8 minutes to go. And the reason I wanted to cut that short is because I've got a record next that's been rattling round in my head that I can assure you, none of you will have heard of this guy before, because I have looked online and I cannot find anything out about this man. But this all adds to his mysterious appearance. However, I won't turn down any knowledge, so please do let me know if you know anything about Glenn Garrison, a rockabilly musician. This is taken from the Nasty Rockabilly box set that was given to me as a gift, and I said that it's one that I will keep on playing records from. Played something last week, I forget who it was by now. So, Teddy and the Rough Riders. And it's the gift that keeps on giving, so I'm going to be playing some rockabilly numbers on the show for you over the rest of the year. And as I said, this is by Glenn Garrison. I have no idea anything about him, but I thought, I've got to play this on the show. But coming up after it, we have, of course, got our LP we've got to put into our virtual collection, so stay tuned for that. But until then, this is the Ballad of Hank Gordon. It's a stone-cold narrative, and I tell you what, you're going to love it.
A man once grew to fame. He was a mighty, mighty man. Hank Gordon was his name. Everybody feared him, and sometimes late at night,
old folks sing about the man who was born with us. A shadow on the stairway made Hank's eyes start to glow. For Red Hat Lil was walking down that stairway mighty slow. Took him by the arm. She said, meet me late tonight. My lips are sweet and warm. Well, Red Hadley was smiling when Hank walked from the room, because she knew that before the dawn, oh, Hank is gonna meet his room. Whippoorwills were calling, the stars were shining bright. Hank knew that Lil was gonna wait for him as he rode through the night. A shadow moved before him, Hank hurried on ahead. But all that met him in that dark was a ball of burning lead.
The Ballad of Hank Gordon by Glenn Garrison, and this is now coming towards the end of the Vinyl
Revival.
Episode 13 with me, James Shakeshaft, here on LSR. Tune in the same time next week to have more of the similar shenanigans. We'll have music from Patsy Cline and others as we talk about the Grand Old Opry. We'll also have the usual features, but for now it's time to end the show by putting an LP into our virtual collection. Now this week it is in fact D in the alphabet. We've gone for an obvious choice here. The legendary Pixies, whose music is unbelievably well respected in this day and age. And I really think that they are a band whose reputation and status has grown and will continue to do so. The ingenious lyrics of Frank Black combined with the drums of David Lovering, the bass of Kim Deal, and of course Joey Santiago's lead guitar riffs that could cut through Yorkshire stone. Were a match made in heaven. Formed in 1986, the group released their first studio album in 1988, Surfer Rosa. Surfer Rosa's cover features a photograph of a topless flamenco dancer pitched against a wall which displays a crucifix and a torn poster. Now, the artwork was devised by Simon Blaster, don't know his name, who contributed pictures to all of the Pixies album covers and inspired by Black Francis. Frank was inspired largely by flamenco language, music and culture, and particularly in this first album incorporated with a lot of language throughout. However, in 1989 they released their second studio album, which was called Doolittle, which is our LP in our virtual collection this week. It was largely considered their best, and the album's offbeat and dark subject material, featuring references to surrealism, biblical violence, torture and death, contrasts with the clean production sound achieved by the newly hired producer Gil Norton. As I said, released in 1989, this was considered the Pixies' best album. In my eyes, it is certainly that. The song I've decided to play from this, as we put it into our virtual LP collection, is Monkeys Gone to Heaven. I've been James Shakeshaft, this has been The Vinyl Revival. See you next week, kids. Tatty bye.
In the sun.